Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay and the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. Tonight, my scheduled guest, Dr. Brian Hooper, had an event come up that he had to attend to, and he sends his greatest regrets to everyone. So he apologizes profusely for not being here. He will be here next week. I know that we'll all be missing Dr. Hooper. Before I get started tonight on my own, I will mention a few announcements, and then I'll be reading to you from some interesting things that I feel that you should know about. I'm playing a little bit of music for you. But first, let's talk about our upcoming Houston get-together. This is my healing weekend that happens in Houston once a year. And this is a really important healing weekend for women who want to move ahead and who need that support of knowing that they're not alone, they're certainly not crazy, and whatever they've been through, everybody understands them 100%. There's no judgment passed and no judgment made. No one ever makes you feel like, oh, you got to be kidding. Oh, you must have been ridiculous. Oh, how could you have stayed there? That's not what this is about. Healing means validation. We understand your pain, and we want to help you by uniting with you and giving you that support to let you know that you can move on. So this is a free event, okay? There's no charge for it. You only have to pay to get there and for your room. And I know for some of you that's a big expense, and believe me, I understand that. It's a big expense for me too. But I do it each year because of the fact that I know that women need to meet others to feel that they're on that road to gay husband recovery. And by being with other women, it really helps, once again, in that validation process. And I will tell you that some of my most wonderful women are in Texas, and you'll have the opportunity to meet them in person. I have Wendy from Wendy's List, who always makes us all feel better by talking about the different stages we go through when people are going through gay husband recovery, and she articulates it so well. In fact, one of our women wrote to me this week after I sent her the list, and she said, boy, she hits it right on the head. She knows exactly how I'm feeling. So definitely Wendy will be there. Also Grace, who often graces our show, as a woman who was married to a straight gay man who remarried again, and that happens to a number of you as well. You have husbands who remarry you again, who remarry not you, but remarry other women again, making you question yourself even more, why weren't you woman enough for this man, when in fact there is no woman who's woman enough for this man. There are only women who are foolish enough to marry him, not just you, but the future ones as well. So Grace will be a speaker there to comfort women in this situation. Also my friend Debbie from Dallas, my adopted little sister. You know, she's always there to give people support, and Debbie will be there. And some of our other wonderful Houston women who have joined us before and will join us again to help you go through your healing experience. We're having women from all over the world, not just from Houston. They're coming from California, Australia, Canada, you name it, they're coming. So if you would like to join us for that healing weekend, it's March 1st and March 2nd. Please write to me at bonk@aol.com. Another important point of that weekend is on Sunday, we're having some wonderful seminars, and one is by Janine Finelli, who's going to give a health seminar on how to make yourself feel better health-wise. And also Jason, who leads my Adult Children of Gay Fathers group, he will be there, and possibly some other children, adult children, to sit and talk about their issues that they go through in growing into adulthood and how you can work with your children in a more effective way in coming to terms with this. Because one thing that I've learned over the years, the last few years, is that this is such a difficult time for children growing into adulthood and looking at their parents' relationship. And although I do know for a fact that many of you stay thinking it's the right thing to do for your children and wanting them to grow up in a stable household. Children know when there's something wrong. They know when there is something not quite right. And they grow up with all kinds of feelings of inadequacy themselves and low self-esteem or not knowing what to expect in a relationship. And worst of all, they grow up, many of them, becoming the keeper of the secret. And that's something that just really hurts me when I talk to these young people and they tell me what guilt they're living through because they found gay porn on their dad's computer or their family computer, and they were caught in the dilemma, should I tell my mom, shouldn't I tell my mom? If I tell my mom, the marriage is going to break up. My mother will be more miserable than she is now. And even though you think you're keeping it together for the sake of the children, your reality is that these children know when something is wrong. Children know what a real marriage should look like. You know, maybe it's not happening in your house, but it is happening on television. It is happening in the movies. So, you know, they're brought up with what a marriage should be like, and when they see it's just not happening, instead of looking at it and saying, maybe there's something wrong between my mom and dad, they often internalize and think, I don't know what's wrong with me. And that's because a lot of times when there's problems in a marriage, you know, and parents are fighting, you know, inevitably children come up because, you know, you throw out everything out there and the children hear that part of it and they think they're responsible for their parents' unhappiness. Or they feel that if their parents weren't under such pressure with the children, maybe they would be happier. They grow up with all kinds of insecurities and feelings, and these feelings filter right into their own relationships as adults. So knowing what to expect and knowing how your children feel and knowing what they sense can really help you as you're moving ahead, helping your children move ahead as well. So Jason will be there at our, you know, conference. And I think that's really important for women to hear. I wanted to mention also our support chats, which are 3 times a week. I know that some of you have definitely been having trouble getting into the chat room. That's because there's a Java update, okay? So if you haven't updated your Java or you need help with that, let me know. But we do have our support chats on Sunday nights. Now, Tuesday afternoon is our international chat, which has been wonderful because I have women who have been coming from Ireland, Finland, Israel, Great Britain, United Kingdom. So it's really a wonderful thing to meet women from other countries as well as women from here in the United States who get to share their experiences. And we see how this problem is so international that it's just not, you know, located to one particular area. So if you're interested in joining any of my support chats, please write to me at bonk@aol.com. And that reminds me that we also have a children's support chat that's on Wednesday evenings at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So if you have adult children or teenagers who are in their late teens who need support, please let me know and I'll be happy to set them up. So next week, I just want to make a mention that we're scheduled to have Donna Anderson, who is the author of the website lovefraud.com. And if you haven't heard Donna here yet or you haven't seen her website, this is something that's essential for you. You can become part of her newsletter at lovefraud.com. And Donna is a wonderful teacher, and she's a personality on television. She's done some wonderful programs on sociopaths and how to cope with them, how to live with them, how to leave them. So if you have any questions for Donna, please let me know. So also for tonight, if you have any questions or comments and you would like to call in, our call-in number is area code 646-716-4893. Tonight I'd like to talk to you about a few different things, and I get letters from women, I would say 5 to 8 letters every day at least from new women who I haven't been in touch with before. And one of the common themes is that they were married to a gay man or a bisexual man who will never admit it. They feel very frustrated. They don't know what to do. And so, of course, I send them a lot of information. And sometimes they're telling me that there is a situation that's going to work. They have high hopes that they will be different than all the rest of us, and eventually they come to see that nothing's changing. But I do send women out this article that I believe is in one of my books. It's called Living La Vida Limbo. And I think this is so important, this article, so I want to read it. And it goes like this. Let's discuss married men who won't leave the marriage, or for that matter, won't leave the closet. This is a subject that can never be talked about enough because it seems to be a stumbling block for so many of us who can't get our husbands to come clean with the truth about their homosexuality. I receive so many letters each month from women who are sure about their husbands but fear confronting them. But I also get letters from women who do confront their husbands with evidence in hand and get denials with distorted truths, giving excuses such as, those computers belong to a coworker, or I have no clue how those websites got on our computer. For those women whose husbands eventually tell you the truth, count yourselves as lucky, even though you may not feel that way at the time. No doubt hearing the word gay is devastating, but not hearing it is even worse. Ask a woman who is trapped in an unfulfilling marriage with a gay man. These women know the truth. They have stumbled on it in one way or another. It has smacked them in the face through hidden websites, email, pornography, letters, hotel receipts, phone bills, etc. And yet their husbands just keep lying to them, and they will never be ready to accept their homosexuality because it's too painful or embarrassing. These are the men who I call the limbo men. Their whole lives are lived in limbo. They are emotionally straight, but physically gay. They never feel totally comfortable in either world, but they are much more comfortable passing in the straight world where they are accepted as part of mainstream society. All married gay men go through limbo for a good period of time. In other words, they are stuck in between both worlds, hoping that by wanting the straight world badly enough, they will be able to cross over into it. They keep thinking that if they play the role long enough, they will become transformed into this part, not just play the part like an actor. But the limbo men I place in this category are different from the other gay men who eventually come to terms with themselves. They are even different than the gay men who are staying in their marriages, but who acknowledge they are gay at least on some level. The real limbo men have no sense of remorse for what they are doing to their wives. In fact, they often feel as if they are victims and strike back at their wives in an emotional or physically abusive manner. They blame their wives for their unhappiness and never have a clue about the damage they are doing to these women who they promise to love, cherish, and respect. They place the blame of their unhappiness on their wives when, in fact, there is nothing that their wives could possibly do to make them feel happy or fulfilled. Their wives are women, and they are gay men. These are the men who will never leave their marriages. They will stay there until the day they die, leading a painful existence and sharing that pain with their wives. More specifically, pouring that pain onto their wives. We all know that misery loves company, and these men are happy to make you as miserable as they are. So often, these limbo men husbands luck out. They have wives who are much kinder and more understanding than average. These are the women who will try keeping every little trick in the book, thinking that someday they will get their husbands hooked. The women live in an accepted existence, looking for the crumbs in the marriage while trying to turn those crumbs into cake. It is truly a tragedy and waste of human life. So that's what I wrote about limbo men, but then I follow it up with the limbo women. And that's going to hurt for a lot of you, but you need to hear this. It says, limbo men create a whole new category of straight wives, namely limbo women. Limbo women are the wives of limbo men who are stuck wasting years of their lives in unsatisfying marriages. because they can never quite get the truth out of their husbands. They know that something is wrong. They know that their marriages are lacking ingredients for success, namely communication, passion, and intimacy. They have loads of little clues that all add up to homosexuality, and yet because they can't get a full confession or even a partial confession, they are trapped. By the time the wife of a limbo man gives a confession, it's usually a partial one, such as, "I'm not gay, but I like looking at gay pornography as part of a full pornographic fantasy show. I'm not gay, but when I was younger, I had an uncle who molested me on a few occasions. I'm not gay, but sometimes I call gay sex lines because the way they talk stimulates me sexually. I'm not gay, but when I was younger, before I met you, I had a one-time sexual encounter with a man, but I only let him perform oral sex on me. I'm not gay, but there are times I think I am bisexual because I look at guys and find them sexually appealing. I would never act on it, though. I'm not gay, but sometimes the thought of anal penetration turns me on. I'm not gay, but when I was in college, we would all get stoned or drunk and have big orgies where everyone was having sex with everyone. I'm not gay, but I have fantasies about both of us having sex with another man." The sad part is that each one of these partial confessions always starts the same way. "I'm not gay, but..." And now the wife is more trapped than ever. How can they break up a marriage just on their own perceptions based on partial truths? I have wives that write to me about the extensive research they do on human sexuality. They are looking for my stamp or endorsement for their discoveries that their husbands aren't gay, just sexually different or deviant. It seems if they can get my professional opinion that their situation is not like the thousands of others I have worked with, they can learn to cope in their own marriages and accept that life isn't always a bowl of cherries. On the other hand, it's not always a bowl of pits either. It's actually a bowl of half-eaten cherries with the pits still intact, sometimes anyway. These women struggle more than those of us who are given our walking papers, or as I like to call it, freedom. Those of us riding on the freedom trail may be hurting for a while, but eventually we can lick our wounds and start life over. We don't have the shackles of homosexuality tying us to a husband who just won't be honest with us, or in many cases himself. Limbo women have the lowest self-esteem of us all because they do personalize that the lack of love that their husbands can show them sexually is because of their feelings. Failings. After they've exhausted every trick known to womanhood without any success or movement, they admit defeat. Nothing they do makes a change. No diet, no breast implant, no sexy clothes, no hairstyle, no new approaches to sexual satisfaction is going to move their husbands into the straight zone. Eventually, they admit defeat, but still don't understand why everything they try is not working on anything in their relationship. Some of these wives cope by developing their own on-the-side personal lives. They meet some strange man on the internet who can boost their self-esteem by telling them all the things their husband should be saying but don't. Sometimes these internet affairs are lifesavers when women start giving up hope on themselves. Some of these wives cope by finding real-life affairs going outside the boundaries of their morals, religious beliefs, and vows, making them feel better on one end, but worse on the other. And still other women cope by popping pills that numb their minds and lower their libido, just so they can keep living in a state of limbo. And so life just keeps moving along, day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year. Limbo women attend family holidays, friend events like birthdays and anniversaries, and office Christmas parties with their limbo husbands. They stand like a trophy next to a man who needs a wife to show off and prove to the world I am not gay. Here is my proof. The limbo wife allays the suspicions that everyone else has about the limbo man. It confuses the public at large, who thinks it is able to identify people of a different sexual orientation because gay men don't get married, right? Or even if they do, they don't stay married, right? Wrong. Limbo men stay married as long as their wives stay in limbo with them. Limbo women are in their brains not to think about what they don't have. Rather, they focus on what they do have. I have a nice home. I have beautiful children. I have friendly neighbors. I have good in-laws who don't find too much fault with me, namely because you're covering up the family secrets for them. I have a companion when I go on vacation. I have good friends. I have a good friendship. I have a husband who won't leave. That's right, limbo woman, he won't leave. He's going to be by your side forever and ever because a limbo man doesn't leave. If he leaves, that means he might be dealing with whom he really is, and what he does on the side might become up front and center. This would upset the balance in his life and throw him out of the sphere of being emotionally straight. And that's the scary world that he just doesn't want to have to face. Life as a limbo man is too easy for him. It's also safe and secure. Want to know something funny? Limbo men think their limbo wives know the truth, at least on some level. They think that all the little clues that they have been confronted on prove that you know the truth somewhere in your limbo minds. And believe it or not, they feel that for this reason, you accept who they are. You can accept their little dalliances and dips into that foreign world that neither of you really want to talk about. They think that your avoidance of the subject after a while is a form of acceptance. They don't see you running anywhere, and they also see you accepting that marriage can be built on friendship. You've given them the biggest gift of all, the end of sexual pressure. You've learned how to live with them in sexual limbo or abstinence. Your limbo libido has gone off into the distance, either with someone else or out of the door or body. Whatever. He breathes a big sigh of relief. You are now the perfect wife. Of course, you're not really the perfect wife. He still finds fault with you because you are a woman, and he is a gay man in disguise. It's never quite the right chemistry. He's never really happy living in between two worlds. He's comfortable, but never really happy. And he'll find ways to blame you for his unhappiness. It will be little things that make you feel stupid. After all, he thinks you are stupid. He thinks you know he's gay and you're willing to live with it. How smart could you be? And so the best years will pass. Your best years will pass in front of your eyes. Yes, the best years. Those years where you could have been living a life without deceit, contempt, and sexual rejection. And before you know it, you'll look around and realize that you can't get back what you have lost. You'll never know how far you could have gone in life because you never had a cheering team cheering you on. You will never be inspired to write poems that have love and hope, but rather your poetry talks of sadness and loneliness. I suppose there is a market out there for poetry of the forlorn. Maybe someone is smart enough to publish a book on poetry for the limbo woman. It's sure to sell a million. And so, my dear limbo women, my heart goes out to you. I feel as if you are walking in the valley of no zone. Not quite here, not quite there. But the good news is that you can move into another time zone. You can join the Freedom Trail and look at life like a new adventure, just waiting for you. You can make a decision that you've had enough of Limbo Land and want to spend whatever remaining years you have finding yourself and a new sense of enjoyment. Your remaining years you have finding yourself, you can learn that life can be like a romantic comedy. You can laugh and love again, no matter how old you are. Romance is never an age, it's a state of mind. And even though living with your limbo man has dulled yours, you can still take your life back and live it the way you want to. You may not win this battle, but you can definitely win the war. And write to me if you want to get the support to do it. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I really like that article. I think that hits the nail right on the head. Now, I know it's been many years since I've written that, but I stand by it. I certainly do. And before I read you my next article, I will take a little break and play you one of the songs from our Straight Wives Club. That means a lot to us, and this is a special dedication to Heather. Hold on just one moment. Yes, that is one of my favorite songs, and I just think it just exemplifies how we feel once we learn the truth and accept the truth. We can see clearly now. The rain is gone. All of the obstacles are gone that were standing in our way. Once you can accept what the situation is about, and once you can take control of it, everything will turn around and change. You know, so many of us are stuck in the same place because we've been what I call gay-lighted for so long. This is when your gay husbands keep telling you you're crazy, you don't know what you're talking about, I am not gay, why do you keep accusing me of this? And because we love these men so much, we want to believe them. So we stay and we stay thinking they love me, they don't want to let me go. They must love me, and that's the sad part. We justify their bad behavior, and by justifying it, because we haven't walked in and found them in bed with someone, we think there's just no way he can be cheating on me. Let me tell you, women, if you ever want to read a good book, please read James McGreevy's book. You know, he's a former governor of New Jersey, and his book, you know, Confessions, is the most amazing book because he is a hero to me. Now, I know that may sound strange, But he is, because so many of our women believe that I'm with my husband 24/7. There's no way he could be out there having sex. This was the governor of New Jersey who was out there with his wife and still having sex. And he even tells you what kind of sex he was having. He would go to dumpsters in the back of a synagogue and meet somebody there for a sexual encounter. He was living life on the high side there, taking all kinds of unnecessary chances and setting himself up for failure because he brought his personal life into his political life, and eventually it caught up with him. But if you ever think for a minute that your husband can't find somebody because you're with him so much, you're really kidding yourself. Now, I know that my friend Jennifer would tell you we were together at one of our healing weekends, and she had the Grindr application. Grindr is when you put down where you are and what you're looking for sexually, and within moments, people will respond to you and even meet you. So I couldn't even believe there was an app like this, but there was, and we tried it out at the hotel. And within minutes, we had like 7 men responding to us within the first 5 minutes, stating they're looking for a hookup. So you say to me, well, Bonnie, I don't know how they can hook up. You know, I'm with them all the time. So here's the funny thing that I tell women. How long do you think it takes to have a sexual encounter? First of all, it takes 30 seconds maybe. Because when you're having sex, I mean, it's not for the passion and the love of it. You're having sex just to relieve yourself sexually. So what happens is that these men take you out to dinner, and you're having a nice dinner, or they take you shopping, you're buying some clothes, and while you're doing that, they meet somebody in a men's room or in a clothing or in a dressing room in a clothing store, and they have a 30-second or 45-second sexual encounter with someone they've picked up from the time that you've gotten to the restaurant or to the store. This is how these men operate. And you're saying to me, there's no way that he could be cheating on me. And yet you'll get back to me and say, somehow I have a sexually transmitted disease. How did I ever pick this up? How do you think you picked it up? You picked it up from your gay husband who was having sexual encounters for 30 seconds in a men's room. And women just don't want to believe. They're so confident that their husbands won't do this to them. If you think your husbands are gay, they are going to do this to you. They can't help themselves. They have needs that you cannot fulfill. I keep saying this over and over again. Straight women do not belong with gay men. And the same in reverse. Gay men do not belong with straight women. It's like an oxymoron. It's like two opposites clashing. Straight woman, gay man. Nope, this is not something that was meant to be. And yet, you're living in this situation and you're not willing to change it because you keep thinking it's going to get better. So I'd like to read from you my book. It's called Over the Cliff. You can see any of my books and buy any of them at BonnieKBooks.com. It's also on my website. And I have 7 or 8 books that I think are really good as far as understanding what your situation is. This particular book, Over the Cliff, was co-written between me and Doug Dittmer. He's the co-author with me. Doug did most of the work because he was interviewing men who are part of our support network. And they were very candid with Doug when he was interviewing them. And I'd like to read you the interview from one of them. Now, this one is JC's story. Once again, this comes from the book Over the Cliff. Oh, and by the way, this book was really written as a self-help book for gay men who want to come out but they don't know how. So Doug would interview them, depending on what stage of the marriage they were in. And, of course, I offer the best ways of coming out to your wife in this book to give men some insight who want to do the right thing and they're not sure how to do it, when to do it. So this book was really designed for men, and so many men have told us it's been so helpful for them, but so many more women have told me it's helpful for them. because you see the inside thinking of gay men, and it makes you finally understand what you're up against. But this is one of the stories, and it's called JC's Story. And it says that JC expressed emotional conflict and frustration in his first email to us in October 2008. He wrote to Doug, "I've been corresponding with Bonnie because I'm one of those wayward gay guys who made the mistake of getting married, and now I'm having to deal with all of the heartbreak of coming out and watching my wife, who doesn't deserve a single problem in the whole universe, have major life crisis issues because she feels deceived, rejected, etc. This is after 26 years of marriage. Is there any way to mitigate the pain of all of this? Bonnie said you would be a good support as I try to get through all of this in one piece. Of course, at this stage, I'm actually more worried about my wife, but she won't join the chats or do anything to get support on her own. I just feel like such a, I won't say profanity on the air, for putting her through all of this, but on the other hand, I just didn't feel I had any choice. And by the way, when I left her, I had already been dumped by the guy who precipitated my coming out. And no, we hadn't even seen each other in like 22 years, so we weren't screwing around. I came out because I felt it was time to buck up and have some integrity. Why does everything have to be so frickin' difficult in this life? JC is happier now in 2011, has a better sense of personal integrity. He has agreed to answer a few questions for us in the hopes of helping others who struggle with this issue. Doug said, tell me about your childhood and adolescence. At which age did you start to think about same-sex attractions? Did you act on those feelings before marriage? JC said, I remember having sexual attractions to guys from as early as when I was 8 years old, when I would screw around with my cousins. However, I guess that early on, I just figured it was something that I would grow out of, so I didn't really worry about it that much. Of course, when I hit adolescence, things got a little clearer. I definitely knew I had a thing for other guys, and ultimately, I had a lot of psychological trouble dealing with it. Definitely did not like the fact that I was attracted to other males, but for my whole adolescence, I screwed around with other males, most of whom were actually straight and not particularly willing to reciprocate, but I didn't care that much. Of course, for some strange sort of role play, much of the time I also had girlfriends, and I guess it was a strange sort of role playing that I would have these relationships with women and hide my truest physical attraction, which was to guys instead of girls. All this was very compartmentalized. Doug asked, at what age did you marry? JC said, I married at the age of 26. Doug asked, prior to marriage, did you consider yourself straight or bisexual? JC responded, oh, definitely bisexual, although I must say I have very negative reactions towards gay people, especially effeminate gay people. Doug said, did you think that getting married would eliminate those feelings for men? JC said, I never felt that getting married or dating women or being with women would take away my feelings towards other men. However, the thought of openly admitting that I was gay and deciding to pursue an exclusively gay relationship was threatening as hell to me. It definitely would have caused huge problems with my family. And actually, since I worked for the DOD for most of my professional career, it would have been a major threat to my own career success. So Doug says, was sexual activity with your wife satisfying? Did you have performance issues, or did it become something you wanted to avoid? JC said, I think in the beginning that sex with my wife was fairly satisfying. I enjoyed it and didn't have any performance problems, so I guess I'm actually bisexual to some extent. However, as time went by, I had less and less interest in having sex with my wife, and she never really pursued it. We pretty quickly reached the point where we had only sex 3 or 4 times a year, and we were both okay with that. Doug says, what occurred in the marriage that brought your same-sex desires to the forefront? What did you do about it? JC said, wow, that's kind of a strange story. My wife and I are actually colleagues, and when we worked together for almost the entire time we were married. I got my PhD a few years before she did, but still we worked together very closely. After we knew from the first exchange that I really was attracted, After we'd been married about 5 years, she hired a technician, and I knew from the first exchange that I was really attracted to him. And for some inexplicable reason, I felt he thought the same way about me. I told my wife at that point that I thought something was going on to happen between me and this guy. She replied, well, if it does, I don't want to know about it. Shortly thereafter, this guy and I had a very short relationship. We're talking about a couple of months. We got really close fast, and although we didn't usually actually have that much sex, I think it was damn clear to both of us that something very gay was going on. He's the first guy I ever kissed, but he parted ways pretty quickly. Little did I know that he would briefly re-enter my life almost 30 years later, and although I never actually have seen him since that time, shortly after I first met him, he and I had many phone conversations before breaking things off again, and because of this, my coming out crisis was precipitated. I knew for a fact that if he had walked in through my front door, we probably would have had sex right there and then. And while he was up for pursuing this relationship on the down low, I shouldn't deal with that, and I said, at this point, I made my decision to end my marriage in the very near future. Doug said, contrast the sexual feelings you had for your wife and the feelings you had for other men. JC said, with my wife, I guess it was more of a responsibility, although I often enjoyed it because I actually really loved her quite a bit and still do. But with men, it was exciting and passionate and fulfilling. Doug said, did you have sex with men while you were married? Did you consider it cheating or did you feel that it was not cheating? JC said, I had sex with one person twice 5 years after I was married and never again after that. And yeah, I definitely felt that it was cheating and that I shouldn't have done it. Doug said, did you find a sense of frustration or a feeling of being trapped in your marriage? JC said, I don't remember feeling frustrated about being married. That's just the way it was. My marriage was good. My wife and I were extremely compatible on everything. We got along great, and I would not have been the success I've been had it not been for her. It nearly killed me to tell her I was going to end our marriage because of my homosexuality, and I still feel very guilty about it right up until this day. Doug said, did you eventually come out to your wife? JC said, after 28 years of marriage, I finally came out and told my wife I was leaving. It wasn't for another man because at that time I didn't have another guy in my life. And to tell the truth, I was pretty pessimistic about ever finding a male partner. However, I couldn't live without the lack of integrity that staying married would have required because I was finally fully conscious of the truth. Doug said, did she suspect anything prior to the time you told her? JC said, yeah, she pretty much knew, but it was secure in the fact that I would not actually act on it. Doug said, how did your wife react when the truth was learned? And JC said, she was devastated. And even after 4 years, she hasn't gotten over it. I don't think she will ever. I have broken my promise to her, and she can't get over that. I don't think I could either to tell the truth. Doug said, do your children know about your being gay? How did you come out to them, and how are they handling it? JC said, thank God, I don't have kids. Doug said, in retrospect, if you could turn back the hands of time, is there anything you would have done differently? JC said, you know, I've often wondered about that. I would like to say that if I had to do it all again, I would come out at the age of 12, be totally honest with myself and everyone else, and I would have lived my life truthfully. However, I was the oldest, and I was afraid to not live up to my family's expectations. Plus, I wasn't strong enough to endure the abuse that would have followed coming out at an early age. So truthfully, I would hope that one thing I would have done differently would have been that I would not have married at all. I could have stayed in the closet but not screwed up someone else's life with my deception. Doug said, have you found the self-fulfillment you were seeking? JC said, on one hand, I do find it liberating to not be hiding my true feelings anymore. I am one of those people that pretty much figures out a way to let other people know I'm gay right off the bat, and I actually don't care that much if they don't like it. I'm done with the whole closet routine. On the other hand, I can't say that my feelings about the gay community are the best. I think that gay has a lot of problems. Sorry, I'm turning the page. And that gay people themselves tend to have a lot of problems. Whether this is because of the things society has done to us or whether it's some other reason, I don't know. But it's an issue that I think takes away from our chances of reaching true self-fulfillment. I'm definitely not feeling self-fulfilled at this time of my life. Doug said, did you find someone or are you still looking? JC said, I'm in a relationship that has passed the one-year point, and I'm hopeful that it will work out and become a nice, sincere, and totally fulfilling relationship. Me and my boyfriend are very different people, but I feel lucky to have him because of some of his good, basic qualities like generosity, honesty, work ethic, and compassion. However, we have often gotten into conflict over some of our basic personality differences. I'm pretty anal about schedules and punctuality, and he could care less. He loves to shop and go to clubs. And I would rather undergo surgery without anesthesia than do any of either of those things. I'm in perpetual motion, and he's totally laid back. I'm truly hoping we'll find enough common grounds on which to build a relationship that will last forever and that will be able to overcome any conflicts simply because we love each other. But at this stage, I have a lot of doubt that that will happen. Doug said, if you could give some advice to other husbands who are stuck in this situation and don't know which way to turn, what would you tell them? JC said, you know, I wish I had some really great advice. But given how different we all are and how our situations are so vastly different, I have only one thing I can say. Get a good damn psychologist and supportive friends, and assuming that for the most part you're in a decent marriage, get ready for that roller coaster ride from hell. Doug said, what would you tell the wives of gay husbands who are struggling to make sense of their situation? JC said, the first thing I would say is remember this is not your fault. It actually has nothing to do with you. You are not part of what the military would call collateral damage. You are now part of what the military would call collateral damage. You could be solid gold, the most beautiful woman in the world, encrusted in fabulous diamonds, perfect in every way, but it still wouldn't make any difference because you are not a man. The second thing I would say is, although you feel like a victim right now, try to think about your husband's situation. Here's a guy that's done his best to be something that he actually wasn't for his whole entire life, because from the time he was old enough to understand basic language, he was told that his true self was unacceptable to God, his friends, his family, and society as a whole. And he actually almost managed to pull it off in a masquerade that robbed him of most of his existence. Try to wrap your mind around how that must have felt. It's not all about you. So Doug said, are you still friends with your wife, or did your relationship completely disintegrate? And JC said, I have done my best to remain friends with my wife, and at present we are still friends. However, I increasingly have that present increasingly have my doubts whether or not it'll be that way when all is said and done. I thought she was beginning to move on, but with each passing year, I believe this less and less, and really, I already have enough guilt on my own without having her contribute even more. I'm beginning to think that ultimately I will have to sever contact with her because she's trying to maintain some sort of relationship which contains such unresolved issues, and it will be simply too painful. I don't want it that way, but I can only do so much. And that's the end of his story. So I think there's a lot to be learned from this story. Although he does have some moments of conscience where he's sorry that he made her live his, you know, his authentic life, unauthentic life for all those years. On the other hand, he's still complaining and bitching and being, you know, the victim in this, saying that, try to picture how it's been for me having to live a lie for all these years. And as I tell my gay husbands who come to me, you know what? It's true. I admit it. It's hard having to live a lie every day of your life, but you have the choice. And men can always say, well, I don't really have a choice because of the fact I come from a religious upbringing where it's unacceptable. I didn't want my family to cut me off, so I did whatever I had to do so that I would have a life. I had to make choices, and that's the choice I made. And then they'll look back and say, well, maybe it wasn't a good choice. And no, it's not the wife's fault because she could be perfect. Has nothing to do with that. But they just need their space and their freedom, and that's the way they view it. Most importantly, the telling words in this particular story were the fact that he said that he's done his best to be a good husband. And this is the problem I have with this. These men think that they've been good husbands just because they work, or they put a roof over your head, or they're there for you when you have to go to a doctor. They think they're making the ultimate sacrifice of being there for you when you're there 100 more times, you know, than they are. The fact that he said his wife was good and kind and wonderful, there is no doubt in my mind that she is. That's probably why he was attracted to her to start with, because of the fact that, you know, he was sure that he could live with someone with her personality traits, that she was kind and understanding, and that maybe she would learn to accept these feelings he has someday, which I guess she didn't want to accept them. But that's why I have these conflicts with men who always feel, well, look what I've done for my wives. Guys, let's be for real. You've cheated your wife out of a happy life. Maybe she could have found someone and had a real relationship with someone who loved her for who she was rather than run away from what she is. So, you know, we all look at things different ways, no doubt in my mind that that is the case. But I feel like I like to be honest about it, and being honest about that reminds me to tell you that this year, starting in March at our Healing Weekend, I'm going to be launching my His Fault Divorce movement to try to get women to stand up to get to their local state reps to say, why should I have to pay for a divorce? I'm not at fault here. I didn't marry a man who was telling me ahead of time that he was gay. I married him in good faith that he was going to love and honor and cherish me. Things didn't work out that way, not through anything I've done or didn't do, but just the fact that he's gay. And I don't think it's fair that I have to pay for that, especially when it comes to court and dividing assets. So if you're interested in helping me in my campaign with His Fault Divorce, please drop me a line at bonk@aol.com. I need as many volunteers as possible. So I would like to play you one more song going out. And this is a song that I love because it reminds me so much of our women. And it's a Beatles song, and it's called Blackbird. So I'll play that song for you now before we end tonight.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You are only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird fly, blackbird fly, into the line of a dark black night. Black blackbird fly. Blackbird fly into the light of a dark black night. For this moment to arise, you were only waiting for this moment to arise. You were only waiting for this moment to arise.
You have to love that song with Paul McCartney. It has such great meaning. Take these broken wings and fly. All of my sisters in pain, with your broken wings, you can fly again. You can learn to go out there and be happy again. No one should have to stay in a marriage where every day you have to wonder, why am I staying here? And I will end tonight's program with one of my other favorite songs. I do have a number of them, but this is really like my theme song, and it's called Pick Yourself Up. I hope this is a good version. It's by Frank Sinatra, but this is my philosophy. So let's see how it sounds by Frank.
Now nothing's impossible. I have found for when my chin is on the ground, I pick myself up, dust myself off, start all over again. Don't lose your confidence if you slip. Be grateful for a pleasant trip and pick yourself up, dust off, start over again. Work like a soul inspired until the battle of the day is won. You may be sick and tired, but you'll be a man, my son. Will you remember the famous men who had to fall to rise again? So take a deep breath, pick yourself up, start all over again. You gotta work like a soul inspired until the battle of the day is won. You may be sick and tired, but you'll be a man, my son. Will you remember the famous men who had to fall and then arise again? So take a deep breath, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. Once again now, will you remember the famous men who had to fall and then rise again? So take a deep breath, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. That's enough now.
Well, Frank did a beautiful job on that song as well. And that's my final message for you tonight. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. That is my philosophy in life. We all make mistakes, but that doesn't mean you can't correct them. Every day is a new day for you to wake up and say, you know what? I don't have to live like this anymore. Whether you're a straight wife living with a gay man, or if you're a gay man living with a straight wife, this was a mistake. It wasn't an intentional mistake, but it's a fixable mistake. Love yourselves enough to do the right thing and salvage whatever time you have left together on this earth. Not together, but just whatever time you have left on this earth. Find your soulmate. Find your true inspiration. Find someone who can make you sing in the mornings instead of cry at night. And that's what life is about. Pick yourself up. Dust yourself off. Start all over again. And those are my words of wisdom for tonight. Thank you so much for listening to this show, and I hope you learned some lessons from it. I send my love to all of my women, also to my men listeners. Thank you for being part of this. Next week, as I mentioned, we'll have Don Anderson on talking about sociopaths. So if you have any questions in advance you'd like me to ask Donna for you, please write to me at bonk@aol.com. I wish all of you a wonderful week. I hope you're not frozen out, like some of my women are sitting and freezing to death, to my little sister Kelly. I hope that you warm up. Also here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, I am cold. So hopefully it'll be a warmer week. And love to all of you. Keep in touch. Write to me at bonk@aol.com. To all of our sisters that are in other countries, the United Kingdom, also in Australia, South Africa, and everywhere else that write to me from other countries, love to all of you. Join my international support group. And to everyone else, have a wonderful week. Good night now.